Hi, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast, where we're all about political cartoons. And today we're talking about the cartoons that cause lots of trouble in the world and get cartoonists thrown in jail and start trials and lawsuits. There is a lot of that going on. I hate to see it, and we'll show you some of that. And our guests today are Zero Miraglu, who just was on trial for how many years was it?
Five years in total.
5 years on trial in Turkey, facing 3 years in prison for a cartoon that we're going to show you. And you just got acquitted. And that is wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Daryl. But I cannot say I'm acquitted. Yes, I was acquitted. But then the prosecutor insists on punishing me. He's so insisting and he's so strict on that. And he took the court to the court of appeal. So he rejected the acquittal. I don't know how long it will last. I have no idea. Maybe more years. So we will all see. I cannot say, okay, I'm relieved. I'm acquitted. So it started all over again, unfortunately.
I didn't hear that. And that's just awful. So are you going to stay in Germany?
Right now I'm in Turkey, but in 3 weeks I will be in Amsterdam for a half year, I think, for 6 months, 5 months or something. And then I don't know. I will see what I will do, actually. For now, I have no idea.
You're brave and I'm impressed with you, and fight the good fight.
Thank you. Thank you. I cannot say I'm brave, but I don't have anything else to do. I just face it and nothing to do. Actually, it's very strange. The very same day with my acquittal, a cartoon about Muhammad cartoon, but it's not a depiction of Muhammad. That cartoon was published in Le Monde the very same day that with my trial, you know, with my hearing, with my acquittal, let's say. Yeah, it's the very same day. So I think this country doesn't let you even breathe for a few days and enjoy your acquittal. I don't know. Yeah.
We'll show that cartoon and talk about it. That was your editor at the same magazine that ran your cartoon that got you put on trial.
Yeah, is it the same editor? Yeah, it's the same. It's the same editor, even from the beginning of Le Mans. So it's the same person. And he faced lots of trials all this while, many. But this is the last one because there's no Le Mans right now. They had to shut down. Everyone is arrested.
Everyone was arrested.
I cannot say everyone, not all the cartoonists. I'm not arrested. But even the accountant, the graphic artist who colors the cartoons, editor, chief editor, and I don't know it's in English, but many other editors. But he was the previous editor, but he hasn't been coming even to Le Mans or making any decisions about Le Mans for many years. So he just quit years ago, but they arrested him also. It's just a show, you know, show that game.
You're doing a graphic novel about your experience being forced into exile by this trial. And you sent us a few pages from this short version of your graphic novel for Cartoonist Rights Network for Terry here. And that's what we're showing now. And I guess this is like the condensed version of your big graphic novel that's to come.
Yes, actually, my graphic novel will be like about 200 pages. But this is a very brief summary of what was going on. It's only 5 pages. But actually, after I finished these 5 pages, many things happened. So I didn't know what's going to happen. But now it's the end of the story. So finally, I know the end of my graphic novel.
Well, it hasn't quite ended yet because it sounds like the trial goes on and on.
Yeah. They don't want to end it because they are, as I said, they are insisting on punishing me until they get this result, put me into prison or maybe a fine. I don't know, with any punishment. They won't give up, I think. There is no other explanation.
I'm sorry about all of that. Hey, please remember to subscribe wherever you're watching. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. And please go to Cagle.com/subscribe. That's where you can get our Cartoon a Day free newsletter. It features the top 3 cartoons that editors reprinted the most in America that day. And you know, editors are kind of timid nowadays, and they like to reprint cartoons that aren't going to offend anybody. And perhaps you like to be offended and you like to see those cartoons with strong opinions. So now we have a premium newsletter. It's just so cool because it includes all those other cartoons that editors didn't want to print, and all the cartoonists making their points as strongly as they can. And what the heck, it's $6 a month. Get our premium newsletter. And hey, thank you for subscribing either on YouTube or wherever you're watching this, or to our kegel.com/subscribe newsletter. And thank you so much.
Actually, I want to perceive it like a funny story of Chekhov, Anton Chekhov, because otherwise it would make me really depressed. But I don't try to see the funny parts. I see automatically the funny parts in it because, you know, I'm a cartoonist. I'm good at it, seeing the funny parts in bad stories. So I am trying to do the same with my story also. But at least I know the end right now. It ended. No, it's still going on, but at least for the first book, I know the ending, and very dramatic ending with Le Mans also, which is weird. I wasn't expecting this.
The Le Mans editors all being arrested for a cartoon. This is the cartoon in question, and you can see that Mohammed there on the left has been blurred out. And maybe you should read this Turkish cartoon to us and tell us what's going on.
Yeah, he says, "Hi, I'm Mohammed," and an Islamic greeting. And the other one says in their language, like, "Aleyhem Shalom, I'm Musa." And he says, "Okay, I'm Moses." Yeah, is it true? And this is, this cartoon is not a depiction of prophet, actually. It's just a symbolic cartoon about people who have died in both religions. And this is actually, this cartoon is full of peace. This cartoon doesn't attack anyone, or it's not insulting or anything. And it's not Prophet Muhammad, because there is millions of people who uses these names. It's just a symbol for those people, those two groups. So it's not the prophet. But
if you're a cartoonist and you're going to draw somebody and you're going to pick a name for them, Muhammad's the most common name in the world, and it's all limited to Islamic people. And so what name are you going to pick for somebody to say this guy's Islam and that guy's Jewish? That makes perfect sense to me. That doesn't label him as Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. No, it's not Prophet Muhammad, and it's just name. And it's the, as you said, it's the most common name. But this Islamic organization who attacked, they were very quick to provoke and mobilize. Maybe it was, I don't know if they decided to organize this or they were commanded to do like this. I have no idea, but I can say they were very well organized. They were very quick. But I believe this cartoon may be related to the fact that the rival, the leader of the opposition party, was like supporting Le Mans. So this might have something to do with this, because it was unbelievable that they tried to attack because of this cartoon. He's not even prophet.
It's the same point you were making earlier, that this provided an opportunity. This was a cartoon that could be willfully misrepresented and easily used as the pretext for the kind of action that we saw happening in Istanbul at the end of July. For the benefit of those who are perhaps listening and can't see this image, it is categorically not a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad. We see a scene with munitions falling from the sky. It's Gaza. These are the souls of two recently deceased men. That's clear from the fact that they have angelic wings and halos over their heads. One happens to be a Muslim named Muhammad. There happens to be a Jew named Musa or Moses. What we're looking at on screen is the version of the cartoon that I imagine most people outside of Turkey saw. It's the version that circulated through a lot of news media, where for obvious reasons, they had blurred the alleged figure of Muhammad. The problem with that is it sent the message, this is a drawing of Muhammad and we have to blur it. So if you were taking a cursory glance at this story, or you weren't aware of the details, then you would have been left with the very strong impression that Doğan Pelivan, the cartoonist concerned, had done a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad. It is categorically not that. And anybody that looks at the cartoon, and certainly who looks at the, shall we say, unexpurgated version, the original printed version of the cartoon, would know that. Very hard to do now because the magazine has disappeared. Le Mans is off the shelves. All of the unsold copies of this magazine were seized. And as we'll get into, as an organism, it's now completely paralyzed. So you either saw it at the time or you didn't. And if you didn't see it, you've been left with a very distorted impression of what it was deliberately.
Basically, they're not going to be friends until after everybody's dead. I get that.
Yeah.
I think that's a fine point for a cartoon. And it's all screwed up just because he picked the name Muhammad and happened to send people over the edge.
Maybe if there'd been, I don't know, maybe if there had been a third figure, because Christians have died as well. Muslim, Jew, and Christian have died in Gaza. Maybe if there had been a third figure, that would have just made it absolutely crystal clear that this is an ecumenical statement about the indiscriminate death that's ensued. But again, it's at this stage beside the point, because it's been presented as something that it was not. It's been taken genuinely or disingenuously as something it was not. And as Zehra points out, and as indeed she witnessed herself on the streets of Istanbul, it led to mass protests outside the offices of Leman. And everybody from the justice minister to the minister for the interior to the president himself passing comment on it. And then came the arrests.
And Zehra, this is the magazine that printed your cartoon that got you put on trial.
Yeah, yeah, it's the same magazine, Eman, that I started to draw, and many cartoonists draw. It's one of the most famous. Actually, it's not one of the, it's the only one left, because all is shut down. Yeah. The only one, now it's gone, yes. It was the last one. There are some magazines who is not, which is not regularly published, but this was the only one left, the oldest one published, also most famous one. So sorry to see that it doesn't exist right now. When I was in the street yesterday, I think they just put off the name Leman from the building. It's really very sad to see Leman is gone also. It's the minister and even the opposition leaders, they turned this into a show. It was very sad to see that they, even the one in prison, the leader in prison, opposition leader in prison, he condemned the magazine over Leman. Over this cartoon. There was just one person, one leader that defended Leman and said this is injustice, this is unfair. But the rest, they all condemned this not to lose votes. And it was the second slap, I think, to Leman and to the cartoonists. It's so sad about, yeah, it's so sad to see this. The street, there's still police car there, a huge one in the street in front of Leman. And there is no magazines now in Turkey to draw, not only political cartoons, you cannot draw anywhere. And there are some, they are not like newspapers, but some accounts like try to publish political cartoons on social media, but they cannot stand the reaction, so they don't prefer to publish it. It's like seeing that a tradition, a huge, big tradition since Ottoman times is being destroyed.
The editor's still in jail?
The chief editor, no, he's abroad. They couldn't put him in jail. But all the other editors, and as I said, even the accountant and the graphic artist who colors the cartoons, they're all in jail. Five are in jail. One, they couldn't put him in jail. And they're all my friends. And just before this thing happened, I heard what was going on and I was in the street. I called them and asked how they are and where they are. And some of them were, and including the cartoonist, they were all very surprised and they couldn't believe their ears, because they say it's just a normal cartoon. What's wrong with this cartoon? They couldn't believe. And some of them, the accountant, for example, he said, but there's nothing to do with me and this cartoon is so innocent. And then he was even smiling. We said, okay, this is not a big thing. Because no one guessed that this massive attack would happen. The scale is really big this time. And then we just hang up the phone and I saw him getting arrested violently on media. It was so sad.
Yeah, video footage of the arrests broadcast on Turkish TV, shared on Turkish social media on official accounts belonging to government officials and so on. As Zehra says, a display of authoritarianism. Arrests initially arising from this cartoon and the alleged incitement and everything that it supposedly represents, inaccurately, as I say. But now the reason Leman is in the condition that it's in is because, lo and behold, while these men are being arrested, while these detentions are ongoing, suddenly we have an investigation of the entire magazine for financial irregularities and the accusation being that they have accepted money from abroad with the purposes of fomenting dissent and acting as fifth columnists within Turkey. So completely of a piece with the authoritarian tactics that we're familiar with in all other places all over the map, and the kind of thing that, it has to be said, cartoonists now the ones that we represent fall foul of far more often than they do accusations of blasphemy or insult to religious sensibility or anything like that. These are the accusations that are leveled more often, increasingly, and are the kind of issues that we're confronted with going forward.
Yep.
I just regret all of that, and I think you're great.
Thank you.
And here's Erdogan running away with the election. I should say, too, that you have become a Kegel cartoonist, and we have your cartoons on the site, and that's very nice.
Yeah, I cannot send these days so many, but yes, I can name myself as Kegel cartoonist also.
Very good. Tell me about this one.
Yeah, this one is, I think it's a little confusing for the ones who are outside of Turkey, because this rope, it represents the law, like the judge, the prosecutor, the lawyer, and the other one is the helmet of police. It means that Erdogan controls, but it's not like controlling, it's like a puppet show.
It's wonderful that you do Erdogan's caricature with just the bottom part of his face. And I just didn't know what the rope represented. So that's a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah. Lawyer, prosecutor, judge. Basically, it represents law in Turkey. So he just plays with law and policemen and all the forces as he wants. So this cartoon was to tell about this. And his mustache, not mustache, but
it's Schrodinger's mustache. It's like when you look at a magic eye picture, or you've been staring at a light bulb too long, and then you look away and you see the ghost of the light. That's one of those mustaches that's there, but not.
Yeah.
That's funny. I like that.
Yeah.
And you did Trump yelling at Zelensky.
This was so strange. I was shocked when I was watching it. And it was really... Anyway, it was hard to see like Zelensky with Trump. He was like a kid and he got smaller and smaller. Like Trump was yelling at Zelensky. For cartoonists, it really inspired us a lot. I think all of us grew about this. Zelensky and Trump thing. I don't remember when this happened, actually. How many months?
Things are happening so fast now.
Yeah, you're right.
I can see why this is hard to understand around the world, but Trump's base is very isolationist, and they just don't care anything about the rest of the world. And he's acting the way they'd like to see him act, indifferent and in rejecting the values of the rest of the world. We've gotten used to that. No, we don't
care.
So this is the cartoon that started your trial for 5 years.
Yes.
And it's very funny. It's a COVID-era cartoon, and you've got the guy thinking, at least I didn't lose my taste and smell. And that's just very funny. And the idea that they would be so motivated to punish you for that is crazy. This is a magazine that had lots of sexy cartoons and Charlie Hebdo does. It's provocative. It's the nature of the magazine. People aren't going to be offended unless they buy the magazine and open it up. And the idea that they would pick this out and you to prosecute you just reeks of they wanted to find a woman cartoonist to punish just to make a point about cartoonists, and that's really harsh.
Actually, we have many cartoons like this. All my fellow colleagues, they draw many cartoons like this. Maybe if this is obscene, I should say more obscene cartoons. But actually, it's they have a prescription, let's say. Prescription is the word, I think. They find something that doesn't suit them, a bad idea, for example, for them about religion, about government, blah, blah. And they really want to punish you because of another cartoon you wrote. But then they start to follow you every week in magazine or on social media, and they try to find the most, in their point of view, insulting cartoon to put it on trial. That happened many times before, and the same thing happened to me also. Terry, it will be too repetitive for you. Sorry to tell the story like 100 times, but I have to. Actually, I was lynched in social media because of COVID in Iran cartoon just some weeks before they started the investigation and the trial of this cartoon. The cartoon was like some Iranian woman, and they were complaining about wearing masks because they were saying on the cartoon that, what was the speech balloon? The woman was saying, oh, at least our mouth was open, because they had that dress code in Iran. So the women were like angry, in yelling is the right word? I don't know. They were angry, and it was a Leman cover. And then a huge lynch on social media, and also not only social media, also the mainstream media who supports the government. Also, they threatened us, me and mom. It was very clear, like they, anyway, and it took some time. And then just in some weeks, they started this investigation. Also, I had many like threatening messages after that Iran cartoon. But I don't think the thing is this one, it has a past. So they found this to insult me because they think drawing something like this as a woman is insulting. It's their point of view.
I thought when I was setting up this podcast that you had been acquitted and this was just a happy story about how you finally put all of this behind you. And to hear that has not happened and that you still go through this nightmare with apparently no end to it, that's really very disappointing. And I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, thank you. But I felt relieved after the acquittal. I was in Berlin because I went to Berlin before the trial as a precaution. And I said, okay, I got rid of this. Now I have a new life. I can focus on my graphic novel, new life, blah, blah. Because I had many concerns about my life. I couldn't make any decisions about my life because of this trial. And I said, okay, I'm so happy this has finished. But as I said, the very same day that this Le Monde cartoon published and just some days after they attacked Le Monde, so Le Monde was shut down and many brands are arrested. They are still in jail. And then this court of appeal thing started. So I decided just to ignore, really. I feel numb right now, really numb.
And if I may, that's the point. That's what these trials are about. In actual fact, an outcome, positive or negative, is often the very thing that the prosecutors want to avoid.
Terry is an executive director of Cartoonist Rights Network International, and he bravely goes around defending cartoonists who get in trouble like Zara in all parts of the world. And we appreciate you, Terry.
Well, bravery is a big support. Sorry to
bravery doesn't come into yeah. Bravery doesn't come into, in my case, the brave ones are the cartoonists. And in actual fact, since the last time we spoke to you, Daryl, Zara is the winner of our Robert Russell Courage in Cartooning Award for 2025 in recognition of exactly what you've already discussed and what you've already highlighted. It's not my decision, I hasten to add. It's the board. My board of directors makes the choice. And with each passing month, I'm satisfied that they made absolutely the correct decision, especially considering what's just happened. The acquittal was very welcome. And as Zara mentions, we had a month or so of happiness as a result. But now we return to the same narrative. And it is a narrative that's predicated on misogyny, in my view. I think this cartoon in the same place at the same time with a male byline would not have elicited anything like the same response that this one has. Zara is probably right. It's probably not really about this cartoon per se. This is the one that presents itself as the easiest one to prosecute, and it bears comparison to what's happened at Le Mans lately. We'll come to that in due course. But it's worth explaining the one thing that Zara hasn't gone into is that the people that judged this cartoon obscene are the panel in Turkey who are responsible for the safety of children. And in essence, what they are saying is that Zara is a danger to youth. So not only is it nakedly, obviously misogynistic, it's downright slanderous what she's been forced to endure in recent years. And the situation that she describes, the inability to make plans, the fact that you don't know what direction your life is going in, are you going to be in jail or not? If so, for how long? If it's a suspended sentence, what will the terms of that be? What will I be able to do and not able to do? If it's a fine, where is that money supposed to come from? And in the meantime, what about my career? If I'm considered a criminal, are other people going to take the risk of publishing my work? Am I going to get to continue to pursue what it is that I want to do? So all these questions have confronted Zara in these last several years. And I don't think she will mind me saying that the upshot of it is, effectively, her career in Turkey is over. I'm quietly confident, more than quietly confident, that she has a career ahead of her. But that is not in Turkey, because regardless of what the outcome ends up being in this prosecution, too much time has been lost, too much momentum has been lost in the meantime. And again, as we'll discuss, the conditions for cartoonists generally in Turkey have degraded to such an extent that it's really not worth pursuing anymore.
That's largely true of journalism in Turkey beyond cartoonists. And I should point out to people that may be watching this video on YouTube, take a look and see if YouTube has rated it for adults only. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do, and that'll squash the traffic for it. And it'll mean that they won't run advertising on it so that they're not going to let people find it unless they know exactly where to go. And we have those kinds of issues here in America, too.
Indeed.
And the sad thing is, Terry, you remember you shared about my acquittal in, I don't know if I have to say the platform name, but, and this platform also banned.
Yes.
What platform was, come on, tell the, what's the platform's name?
It's LinkedIn.
Yeah. I couldn't talk about Zera on LinkedIn because of this scandalous, pornographic, offensive, obscene cartoon.
We all smile when we talk about this, and we should not be smiling.
I think we should be smiling to protect our mental health. And there's one more thing, that the judge asked for a report about this cartoon, whether to decide whether it's obscene or not. There's a council about it. This council was launched in, I think it was in 90s for a pornographic magazines, you know. To put into black bags these magazines, and now they are the ones who decide about this cartoon. It's unbelievable.
Congratulations on your award, Zera.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy, and I want to thank one more time to Terry and Cartoonist Rights. It's so important. Really, it's really important. I can say that many times, because when you're facing such things, you need something to carry on, to motivate, and it's more than important. Thank you.
Terry, I am going to switch to you, and we're going to flip through a bunch of images where you have some updates over our last podcast about the cartoonist going to jail, where we had Zera on before. And
sure.
So give us all the new news about all of these old situations and what has popped up new.
Yep. So the last time we spoke, the creator of this image, Atina Farghadani, was in jail in Iran. This was one of her paintings that was part of an exhibit at the Oslo Freedom Forum in April of last year. The cartoon in the center is the cartoon for which she originally went to jail in 2015.
That's the cartoon depicting Iranian legislators as animals that are shown in an unflattering light.
Indeed. And she was told at that time that she was more than welcome to travel to Oslo to attend the forum, but she would be arrested immediately upon her return. So aggrieved by that, and in objection to that, she went to Pasteur Street in the middle of Tehran near the government buildings and tried to place a poster there, objecting to the government. She was arrested on the spot, quite badly beaten, taken to prison, and had been jailed for the better part of a year when we last spoke, and was looking at a stretch to come. But happily, the charges against her were reduced to something less serious. The commensurate sentence was reduced to 8 months, and that was considered time served. So very early in this year, in fact, she was released. And happily, there hasn't been a sting in the tail as yet on this one, albeit, well, of course, she remains in Iran and could be subject bad treatment in the future.
I expect Iran to be a terrible place and intolerant of any kind of speech. And I don't expect that from Turkey. Turkey is like almost a Western country, and they're supposed to have a free press. And Iran doesn't even aspire to being a Western country or have a free press. And to my way of thinking, Zera's situation is much more grave than a terrible country acting terrible as you'd expect them to.
I don't know if grave is the word. They're all grave. Atina suffered terribly, as she often does. This is her third time as a prisoner. And this last time her health suffered, she resorted to hunger strike. But I guess the way to put it would be that, yes, it's galling when a country aspires to, for example, EU membership or a seat at the top table at NATO or some of these other international cross-border organizations and so on, like Turkey does, and then fails to keep up with its obligations to freedom of the press and freedom of expression. And that is all to do with, it has to be said, the personality of the man at the top, who, again, we'll come to.
This is wonderful good news since our last podcast, and here she is. So what's up with this, Terry?
So this is another case to update everyone on. We spoke about Ashraf Omar in Egypt the last time we were together. This is the last cartoon that he had in the Al Manasa outlet in Cairo. It's talking about infrastructure in Cairo that had been power cuts, incapacitating the monorail, the public transport system, and so on, in the days before this cartoon was published. So July of last year, his home was raided. He disappeared for 48 hours. His whereabouts were unknown. Eventually, the police admitted that he was with them. He had since been interrogated, asked about his cartoons, asked about what he was trying to achieve with them, and was ultimately charged with supporting terrorism.
Has there been anything new that's happened since the last time we looked at this on our previous podcast?
We have unfortunately passed the anniversary. So the anniversary of his arrest just went by in the latter half of July. Ourselves and various other organizations marked that sad anniversary with another call for his release. He is still in pretrial detention. This is a condition that has existed in the statute books in Egypt since the pandemic. So essentially, rather than have a proper hearing, they can do what we're doing right now. People can get together, prosecutor and a judge can get together on a Zoom call effectively and come to a very quick summary decision to extend his detention. There's no opportunity for him to communicate with his counsel. There's no opportunity for him to offer any kind of petition or any kind of counter-argument. And as I say, that has continued for 12 months and could continue for as long as another six. So it'll be potentially the end of this year before anything changes at all. But what has happened in the meantime, unfortunately, is his wife was arrested and similarly charged with support terrorism, all because of an interview that was conducted with her, a press interview, where she spoke about Ashraf and the case. Fortunately, rather than her entering the same state of limbo, she was granted bail. So she's not held, she's not in prison, but it's worth noting that she's been criminalized in much the same way as her husband, simply for speaking out on his behalf.
Another US ally acting just terrible. And here's the story.
And there she is. That's the Mugith, wife of Ashraf Omar, jailed, albeit briefly. As I say, she was eventually bailed, but on the same charges.
This is one from how many years ago? 4 or 5 years ago? That ran in the international edition of the New York Times. And I would argue that this is an anti-Semitic cartoon, and they should have apologized for it as they did. But what they did beyond that was to say that this is the last editorial cartoon that the New York Times will ever print. And they did nothing to punish the editor who chose to run this cartoon in the newspaper. They also dumped a syndicate that they had been supporting as part of the New York Times, which was a cartoonist and writer syndicate that had been around for many years. Jerry Robinson, who famously created the Joker character in Batman comics, ran this international cartoon syndicate, and it had a database on the New York Times, and they just killed it immediately. They dropped the database, and that led to the death of Cartoonists and Writers Syndicate, which was not long ago purchased by Cheered Royards and Cartoon Movement, which is, it's nice that the cartoonists still had a home, but the idea that some stupid editor causes all of that kerfuffle, killing a syndicate and killing a traditional American journalistic art form in perhaps the most prominent newspaper, that's just this overreaction. And okay, I'm just ranting now.
No, rants are what we're here for. 2019.
So 6 years ago.
And again, my previous point. Yes, the honorable thing to do would have been for the editor to carry the can for this. Whatever consequences there had to be should have come to the editor, because the car doesn't appear naturally without the editor's approval and input. So one column doesn't get every columnist fired. If it would be illogical to do that, then it's equally illogical to get rid of all cartoons for the sake of one.
That's true. I would argue that they should ban words rather than drawings. They've had much more trouble with words. And I should say a lot of cartoonists had defended this cartoon. It's drawn by Antonio Antunes, who is a well-known, nice guy, lots of cartoonist friend from Portugal, a very well-known cartoonist. And I think it's an anti-Semitic cartoon, and that puts me at an argument with many of my peers. But I think broadly, there's not much disagreement about that. You've got the Star of David by itself without being part of the Israeli flag, which indicates the religion rather than the state. You've got Netanyahu as this German dachshund, which is a kind of a Nazi reference. You've got Trump with a yarmulke. It's a bad cartoon and a bad decision by the Times. And fascinating that they punished the whole cartooning profession rather than punishing the editor who made a bad choice. An editor in Hong Kong, who they describe as a junior editor, who I guess was working in the middle of the night with no one watching.
Yeah.
All right. Talk about this controversial Charlie Hebdo cover, which has Erdogan lifting and looking at the butt of this lady.
So this, again, is the same. This is Charlie Hebdo, of course.
And this is in France, where you can draw anything. We have these ad hominem cartoons that we do all the time, name-calling cartoons, just showing politicians to be jerks. And that's a great tradition of that in editorial cartooning. I like that. Those are preaching to the choir kind of cartoons. They don't convince anybody of anything, but they're very satisfying. That's basically what this is.
Yeah, and it was around about the time, I think, ever since the attacks, everyone knows about the attacks, some 10 years ago now, at Charlie Hebdo. So when those anniversaries have rolled around every January, Charlie Hebdo's often had a kind of special edition or special issue where they focus on a particular topic. And I can't remember whether it was this particular issue or not. The cover date seems to be October, so perhaps I'm mistaken about that. But in any case,
October 2020. That, so it's yeah, 5 years ago.
I bring it up
because it's Erdogan and bashing.
They decided it was Erdogan's turn. And again, for those that aren't aware, this is a man who is extraordinarily sensitive to being cartooned and caricatured, has embarked upon countless cases, not just against cartoonists. All you have to do is have the cartoon in your hand. There was a very well-publicized case where some students who happened to be holding a placard that had cartoons of Erdogan on them were sent to jail. He cannot abide being cartooned, which of course just makes you a target for more cartoons. The trick is to ignore them. When you make a big deal out of the fact that you've been cartooned or caricatured, you're just inviting more of the same. So in this particular case, we have him caricatured in pretty unflattering terms. He's a slob sitting in his underwear in a chair, and he's lifting the burqa of a woman, revealing her backside.
He's saying, ooh, the prophet.
Well, yeah, ooh, the prophet, yeah. But it caused a big diplomatic incident. Erdogan was looking to take Charlie Hebdo to court. Macron, I believe, had to make some kind of response along the lines of, we have freedom of expression here, we value our cartoonists, etc., etc. Charlie Hebdo, horse being certainly after the attack, a title that occupies a very particular place in the French psyche, in French culture. But as Zera points out, magazines comparable to Charlie Hebdo having been all but wiped out in Turkey, whereas before Erdogan it was a very healthy scene. The Turkish cartoon scene was very comparable and reflected what we see in other European countries like France, Spain, etc. All of that eaten away during the Erdogan years. So that in itself kind of makes him a target for cartoonists outside, and especially if they want to express solidarity with the cartoonists who've been targeted within.
Well, one of the joys of being a cartoonist is knowing that you can so annoy someone that you want to annoy. And that's basically all this cartoon is. And that's what makes me laugh. All right.
I have to say that I really try to avoid laughing to the cartoon, previous Erdogan cartoon, because laughing it can cause me trouble.
Sure.
So I'm very happy that you just changed. I tried to avoid.
I thought this one was funny. He's just recreated the cover in his own style and put the cover in there so that you know what his cartoon's about. That's funny in itself. And here's another one from Christo Komarnitsky in Bulgaria. He can make it about the EU. Anyway, I enjoyed this kerfuffle, and I enjoy seeing the cartoonists annoy Erdogan so. And so this one makes me smile. There was a cartoonist some time ago who was in jail, who's been released, Musa Kart, and there was a worldwide effort among cartoonists to draw cartoons on his behalf. I just throw these in here to show that these cartoon problems have been going on for a long time in Turkey, and they have generated a lot of great and interesting art. And it seems like this problem will not go away. One thing that's frustrating is you can annoy these guys with cartoons, but rarely do the cartoons achieve anything real.
Like Zera, a winner of our award, and it was third time the charm. In this case, Erdogan had tried twice before to criminalize him. That was very much on the basis of his cartoons, his portrayals of first time round prime minister, second time round president Erdogan. When he went to jail for the third time, along with colleagues from Cumhuriyet, and you have our respect, you have our support, and for as long as it takes, whatever they throw at you.
Good luck with all this, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk about cartooning and not only troubles, but I hope some someday we will just get through this and maybe talk about just cartooning, just the jokes, but not the troubles, I hope. That's my biggest hope, really.
You can invite you back for one of these where we don't mention any of this stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Why not?
All right. Thank you very much. And so that is the Kegel Cast. Remember to subscribe and come back for the next one. And we love you. We love you so much. I'll see you later.